Hey, welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. Stay tuned today. If you've ever wondered the difference between the way God judges things versus the way man judges things, you're going to want to stay tuned. We have been in a series here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. I want to encourage you. We just finished a three-part series on that subject exactly, the difference between God's judgment versus man. There is a huge difference because we are imperfect. Our God is not. My name is Antonio. Welcome. I'm here with Pastor Dan.
Hey, everybody.
Good morning, Pastor Dan.
Morning.
Rock Life Podcasters, we are just so grateful for you. I want to encourage you to like, share. We are now across all the platforms, or the main platforms, I should say, and we're hearing some great feedback, and so we do appreciate you, don't we, Pastor Dan?
Absolutely, and I'd say this. I know we're saying good morning, but yeah. Good evening, afternoon, good middle of the night for our overnight
happy
graveyard.
Happy summer, happy winter, happy...
Happy life.
Autumn, yeah, all of it. I mean, who knows? The internet stuff stays
on. It's amazing. Yeah. Amazing what gets where and when it gets there.
Well, our prayer is that whenever you're listening to this, wherever you're listening to this, this is a blessing to you. It edifies you. And it is a supplemental teaching, conversation, things that we don't always get to say or talk about. Obviously, there's not two people on the stage on a weekend.
No.
And so I always consider it a privilege to be able to ask some of these questions and pull some of this stuff out.
Right. And I think the neat thing is that, you know, I think one way, and there's tons of different thought processes and perspectives. Yeah. And I'm always refreshed by your perspective because you ask questions and you're very inquisitive. And so sometimes when you bring questions to me, I'm like, huh, I never thought of that, you know, and but it's good because it pushes me to think and to get into new realms. And so, you know, even with the subject like God's judgment versus man's judgment, you know, today we're going to look at some common questions and maybe some of the thoughts that rose up from that and some neat things. But, you know, people might actually be looking at judgment with current events.
Yeah.
You know, there's a war currently as we record this going on in Israel. Yeah. It's almost been a year since the October 7th attack on Israel.
Yeah. Yep.
It's Rosh Hashanah currently, and that's been a time where when the Jews are doing their festivals, that outside enemies try to attack them because they know that they're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And really, this is like the Day of Atonement. And so a lot of people are looking at prophetic calendars. They're looking at what's going on around.
Right.
You know, we've seen some things in our land with devastation, catastrophe.
Yeah.
My wife was just telling me, though, she said that someone was saying, you know, oh, it's things are getting so much worse and there's so much more and it's hotter and this and that. And some guy was like, no. You just need to go back and look at the almanac and just, you know, kind of compare it and realize it's been like this. Just we haven't had the internet and social media to tell us about it.
That's right.
You know, I don't know. You know, I'm sure there's a million opinions out there about that. But the neat thing is in the midst of everything that we're seeing globally and even nationally and locally, there's some amazing things going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last night, Pastor Jess and I, after church, went to our daughter's college campus.
Yeah, I mean, you guys jetted off.
We were out.
Service is done. And,
we were waving at everybody as we ran out the door. But yeah, we wanted to get down there. They have a chapel service because it's a college campus.
Right.
It starts at 9:30 at night and goes till 10:30.
And people were there. People showed up.
It was packed.
Well, kind of like an homage back to young adults, right? You guys used to start at 9. But we won't go there yet.
Well, we started at 9 because we were in a college town and we went to a church service that had a Wednesday night. And then afterwards, they had their college service and it was packed with college students. And so we got the vision. To do that at the church and started that, and eventually it snuck its way back to 8 and as we had kids and stuff like that. And then
7 o'clock.
When I handed it over, it was 7's good. 7's good. Yeah, let's do that. So
and I'm grateful. It's good. 7 is good.
That's awesome. But no, it was really neat to see and my daughter actually spoke at the chapel. She gave like a 10-minute exhortation.
Awesome. Yeah.
Talking about Mary and Martha and how Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and chose the needful thing and talked about how in the Psalms there's that word Selah, pause and reflect in God's presence, and just gave the students an opportunity. And I tell you, man, both my wife and I were in tears. The presence of God was in the place.
So cool.
There was a girl to my left lying prostrate on the floor, face down, weeping.
Wow.
And I'm just like, man. And then they got into some other songs afterwards, and people were jumping up and down. I mean, people were pacing the aisles. It was like just awesome to see what God is doing on the college campus. Now, not everybody was is saved even on a college campus, you know, a Christian college campus. But, you know, they have a requirement of chapel. So they're there in the presence of God. And I believe that God is moving in this generation, you know, and doing
Absolutely.
Some amazing things.
Well, so, I mean, like you mentioned, it is a Christian university. But that doesn't demean that at all because exactly they're not checking the track of your discipleship at the door before admittance. And it is also a testament of what we are seeing across other college campuses as well. I know, again, like you said, with the news that we see, it almost seems like the world media would like us to believe that things are awful and horrible. But we are seeing some really cool things on the earth and in our country on some of these major college campuses with influential in the country where there's big football towns and things like this. I know Ohio State had these huge where the football players. I mean, this is a nationally ranked football team, and the football players are showing up and they're hosting the revival services and baptizing students.
Love
it. Texas A&M and some really cool things are happening, and there is a hunger in the generation.
For sure. I just heard about another one. I think it was in Arkansas or Alabama. I always get the two confused.
But
down south, there was another college campus, had like 13 to 1,500 students, just in revival.
Mm-hmm.
And some great things are happening. You know, in the midst of the darkness, we're called to shine as lights.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mentioned Israel, and Israel's really the time clock. You know, God's eye is always on Jerusalem. He said that he would be looking there. He's placed his name there. And definitely in the end times, the Jews have a huge part to play.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're talking about that day that's coming, that day, you know, the day of judgment, the day of wrath, those sorts of things. And we talked about God's judgment through this series. And in this part number three, we really did dive deep into the finality of God's judgment and judgment day. And that's why it's so important that we warn men.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important that we witness. That's why it's so important that we continue to keep ourselves for that day.
Yeah.
Because there is going to be a judgment, and the sheep and the goats will be separated. Some people who think that they're saved are going to find out that they're not.
Right.
That's a sad truth.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, the believers are going to go to a second judgment.
Yeah.
And the believer's judgment where we go before Christ and our works go before him.
Right.
And we're judged according, not according to our sin. That's been judged on Jesus on the cross, right? We've been cleared.
Let's pause for a sec.
Sure.
So there's the judgment of basically saved, unsaved.
Right.
Sheep then it's like, okay, here you go. You are saved. You will spend eternity in heaven forever.
Right. Enter into the joy of your Lord.
And then now we're going into, and I know you touched about this each week. I feel like you touched on this a little
Tried
bit.
Tried to, yeah.
You made the distinction. I know we're covering today the last 2 weeks of this series, which I think it's great to do them in one podcast because they so well fit together in a conversation.
Yes.
But now here we are at the second judgment, and you did say also known as the believer's judgment.
Right. Yeah.
And this is where, and I like the way you said it. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you get to get away with bad behavior.
Right. We're still God's children.
Right.
God's going to discipline His children. He does that now. That's the neat thing about having the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
You know, Hebrews talks about the chastening of God, that every father who loves their children disciplines them for their good. We're being refined. We're being disciplined. You know, as far as when we go before the judgment seat, what we did in the body, we will be judged for our works.
Mm-hmm.
And the Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, after talking about being spiritual and unspiritual, that they should be spiritually minded, but they're very carnally minded.
Right.
They had a lot of problems in that church, you know, and they were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what to do with as far as it came to, should I let my daughter marry or not marry? Hey, so-and-so wants to dress this way, so-and-so wants to dress that way. Should a man look like a woman? You know, I mean, they had some concerns and questions. And so within that, the Apostle Paul says, you guys are very naturally, earthly, fleshly minded. Mm-hmm. And he calls it carnally minded.
Yeah, right.
From that understanding of the mind frame, he goes into how we build our life.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about our life as a house. Sounds like a movie title, doesn't it? I think it is somewhere in
there. Yeah, I do. And I remember liking that movie.
Did you? Yeah. I don't know that I've ever seen
life
it.
Life as a house, yeah.
I don't know if I can recommend it or not on this podcast.
Yeah, maybe I it's been a long time.
Yeah, so check it out on Plugged In first.
There you go.
That's a good one. But he likens our life to a house and how we build. And he says that the materials matter. You can build with gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them will build a house. I mean, you can see houses built out of grass and bamboo and, you know, palm tree leaves. But if you throw fire on that, it's going to light up.
Right.
It's very incendiary.
Yep.
With gold, silver, and precious stones, you hit those things with fire, they're going to pass through.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to stand the test. And so that's what the Apostle Paul says, is that at the end of our lives, when we go before the Lord for his judgment on our lives—
mm-hmm.
sin has already been dealt with. That's right. Out of the way. We're not being judged according to our sin.
Right.
Jesus is our Passover lamb. So the judgment for sin is passed over us, mm-hmm. right? We're not going to be judged according to that. If we've got the blood of the lamb applied to our lives, he who has the Son has life. We realize that. There was a parable that Jesus talked about where everyone got the same reward.
Yep.
And that was the parable of the minas, if you will, or some of the translations call it the parable of the pounds. Everybody gets the same rewards. I believe that's speaking of mm-hmm. believers receiving our salvation.
Yeah,
everybody
yeah.
gets that same reward of salvation. But then there's another parable called the parable of the talents. And in the parable of the talents, there are differing rewards based on activity,
yeah.
works, right? One guy receives five. He gains five more. He gets... A big reward, right?
Yeah.
Another guy has three delivered to him. He gains three more, right? Mm-hmm. So he's gotten a differing reward.
Yeah.
The one who has no return, they take it from him and they give it to the guy that produced the most.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's basic investment strategy, right? You know,
yeah.
if you've got three different investment accounts and one of them doesn't produce,
right.
well, this one's producing really high. I'm just going to put it in the yep. one that's producing high. That's
right.
really what the story's saying.
Yeah.
However, if you notice, the rewards differ in the parable of the talents. It's not the same reward across the board.
Right.
It's differing rewards.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that speaks to the believer's judgment,
mm-hmm.
that as our works are passed before the Lord, so whatever life you've built, that
yeah.
house,
right.
will be set up, and the fire of God's going to hit it and test it.
Right.
And that testing will show whether or not it was gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble.
Right.
Now, the things that remain are a reward. You get to keep those things.
Yeah.
The things that are lost, obviously, you don't get to keep.
Right.
And so that's where I mentioned that there will be weeping in heaven. God
yeah.
will wipe away every tear because he's gracious and he's good. But there's going to be some losses that we suffer in heaven.
Yeah.
And even sadness, you know,
yeah.
which people speak of heaven as eternal bliss.
Yeah.
We have to realize that God has all the emotions, and therefore
yes.
we have all the emotions.
Right.
Even in eternity.
Yeah.
And that may be a new thought that people think, because with the absence of sin,
mm-hmm.
why would we ever be sad?
Yeah, right.
Interesting thoughts.
No, that's good. What would cause that? Yeah.
Right. So it's important how we build our lives, and I think that's where people really need to have the takeaway of God's judgment as a believer.
Yeah.
Right? We're watching ourselves to make sure that we don't drift away,
mm-hmm.
Because if you sear your conscience long enough.
Yeah.
And if you willfully reject God and his ways and his sacrifice, eventually you're going to trample the Son of God underfoot, like the book of Hebrews says,
yep.
and walk away into apostasy where you reject the sacrifice of
right.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's where Hebrews says that the ground that produces only thorns and thistles is in danger of being cursed
right.
and being burned with fire. Right? That speaks of apostasy. That speaks of willfully rejecting the sacrifice
yeah.
of Jesus. And this speaks to believers. Sometimes people say, well, you can't lose your salvation. No, you can't lose it,
right.
but you can reject it and walk away from it.
That's where it naturally was going. I was going to bring that up because I know that's a common question. And
right.
I know that you made that very clear in that statement. It's not a matter of I'm doing something to lose it. I remember in Bible college, one of our teachers said it's not like you didn't do anything to find it, so you can't lose it that way.
Right.
But basically, like you said, you set it down, you walk away from it, you take this gift,
mm-hmm.
and you either trample over it or you say, nah, and I'm by my choices, by my own preferences, I'm kind of
right.
I'm rejecting this truth.
Right.
Everyone wants to talk about their truth. Well, you went and did your own truth as opposed to versus the truth.
Yes.
And so you rejected this free gift of salvation. It was not lost as if it was stripped from you,
mm-hmm.
right? As much as you let it go.
Jesus said, no one can snatch them from my
right,
hand.
Right.
But I did hear one person say, but you can walk through the hole in his hand.
Right. Right.
Right? Yeah. He has these scars. And
right.
so no one can snatch you. The devil can't snatch you. Mm-hmm. Sin can't snatch
right.
you. You know, other people can't snatch you from his hand. As a believer, if you sin, you're not
right.
lost. You're
right.
not damned to hell.
Right.
As a believer, if you sin, repent. Your
yeah.
sin's been covered by the blood. That doesn't give you an excuse to continue in sin.
Right.
But repent, turn from
right.
it, and come back to God, and then work on it,
mm-hmm.
right? We
mm-hmm.
we work out our salvation with fear and
right.
trembling. The term is out.
Yes.
Right? That salvation that's in you should be coming out of
mm-hmm.
you. We're working that out. It's not works-based salvation. It's salvation by faith
yeah.
in the grace of God, that,
right.
that God saves us through faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the avenue of grace getting a hold of our lives and pulling us out of sin and out of hell. But we work out that salvation. We do the good works because we're saved. And that's the expression of a life that doesn't willfully reject
yeah.
the witness of the Spirit, which is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit or the unpardonable sin, right? That's where the religious leaders of that day saw the works of Jesus and the witness of the Holy Spirit, and they rejected it and attributed it to Satan.
Right.
That's the unpardonable sin, when you are willfully rejecting the witness of the Holy Spirit of Jesus and his righteousness.
Right.
So if you're not doing that, you're not committing the unpardonable sin because, you know, you messed up. You,
right.
you had too much alcohol yeah. and you got drunk yeah. or you jumped in bed with somebody on a one-night stand.
Having, and excuse me. Having doubts about your faith.
Doubts right?
so
about
this
your
is
faith,
kind of
yeah.
where people are at. They walk, you know, something, a tragedy happens. Not like, well,
where's
are
God?
You good, God? What
yeah.
is this that I've heard? And that wrestling, and then they find themselves in this like, oh, I doubted God, so I'm done anyway, so I might as well just walk away.
Which people don't understand. Repentance is such a gift, you know,
right.
and the Bible says that God grants it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we have to understand that if you find yourself in that place of being drunken or on a one-night stand or having those doubts
mm-hmm.
or you know, you gave in a moment of weakness and you cheated on your taxes
right.
or, you know,
yeah.
whatever it is, you let a word slip out, you
right.
know, from high school or something
right.
like that, and you realize, oh, gosh, I did the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where repentance gives us the pathway back to connection with
right.
God.
Yeah.
That's where the cleansing comes in from that sin. Now, in eternity, you won't be judged for the sin.
Right.
That sin has already been judged on Jesus
right.
on the cross.
Right.
The penalty has been paid for, and so you don't have to pay the price for the sin.
Mm-hmm.
However, for the work, there's going to be a loss.
Right.
And I think that's where people need to understand the difference,
mm-hmm.
is that gold, silver, and precious stones
yeah.
actually has a representation in the Word of God.
Right.
Right? Scripture interprets Scripture.
Right.
So when you look through the Word of God, like 1 Peter talks about, your faith is as precious as gold,
yeah.
refined in the fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we believe God without doubting,
yeah.
that's the gold.
Amen.
When we doubt God,
yeah.
that's the wood, hay, and stubble.
Right.
Now, it'll be burned up. There's a
yeah.
loss there.
Right.
But if we believe God, hey, guess
yeah.
what? We put gold there,
mm-hmm.
right? Even if we you know, struggle along the way, but we end in faith, that's the beauty of the story of Abraham, right?
Yes.
Here's Abraham
yeah.
and Sarah both laughed at
yeah.
the promises of God, right?
Yeah.
And yet, what does Hebrews record? He didn't waver in faith.
Right.
I Wait. Love that.
Yeah.
Faith covered that
right.
that loss,
yeah.
right? There was
yeah.
gold in place of that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there was some moments of weakness in Abraham's life, but faith
mm-hmm.
covers that portion,
right.
and that's what history will remember. That I think that's the beauty about God and about his redemptive plan for our life, is that even if we doubt, even if we have those moments of weakness, silver, right? If you look at the Proverbs, like apples of gold and settings of silver,
mm-hmm.
Is an aptly spoken word. The tongue of the righteous is like choice silver.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes our tongues, if you've ever heard of someone being silver tongued,
yeah,
most
yeah,
of the time
right.
that's like a put down,
yeah, yeah.
I think.
Like they're sly. They're
yeah,
there.
Yeah. I mean, I would say forked tongue is
right.
probably worse, you know, speaking out of both sides of your mouth
right,
or something
right.
like that. But a silver tongue usually mm-hmm. speaks of eloquence.
Right.
And it speaks of being able to put together thoughts and words
mm-hmm.
and that sort of a thing. But when the Bible speaks about having a silver tongue,
right.
it's speaking about righteous words.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What we speak matters.
Yeah.
It is important for us to say the right things. It
mm-hmm.
is important for us to speak faith.
Right.
It is important for us to speak life, to
mm-hmm.
not speak criticism and condemnation. You know,
mm-hmm.
parents, if you're listening to this, or, you know, people that are around children, what you say is a seed that's going to be planted into that heart of that child that
yeah.
will produce. And so we have to speak with that silver tongue,
yeah.
right? Plant the silver seed of faith and believe God, and you're going to see your kids grow. You know, when they mess up and do something that's stupid, because they will,
yeah.
right? We did too. We understand that.
Absolutely.
And but instead of telling them that they're stupid and that they're never going to amount to anything, speak life into them. Hey, I know you can do better. You have the Spirit of God. You're able to do this. You're a good kid.
Mm-hmm.
Not, oh, you're such a bad kid.
Right.
No, you're a good kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to do better in the future. I love you, and let's do this together. And discipline, yeah, for sure. Take away the phone, the electronics,
right.
the
yeah.
privileges, whatever that is. Appropriate spanking for the little ones, you know, not abuse or beating or anything like
right.
that, but appropriate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that way they understand that there's a penalty, and then they don't repeat it. But they also know that there's love in reinforcing that. And those silver words that are coming through, those things will
right.
will pass the test of time, right?
Right.
Whereas worry, doubt, fear, you know, Jesus even said every idle word we speak will be
right.
brought before the judgment.
Yeah.
Right? Burned up,
right.
I believe.
Because,
yep. you know, it may not be a sinful word. It might just be an idle word, like,
mm-hmm.
we're just yakking.
Yeah.
That's not going to remain.
Yeah.
But when we speak faith, when we speak life, those things are going to remain. Precious stones.
Yeah.
You know what this one is?
No, like in the analogy.
Like in the analogy, right, yeah. Right. So again, scripture interprets scripture. Right. Okay, the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven in the book of Revelation is lined with stones.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Peter said that we as living stones are being built together in a spiritual house.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
For God, I believe. And even the Apostle Paul said, you are our crown.
Mm. Yeah.
Stones, gems,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I believe that precious stones is people.
Wow.
The people that we bring into the kingdom for eternity are going to pass the test.
Yeah.
The people that we lose, there's going to be losses. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that the burning from hell goes up ever in front of the people. There's going to be tears in heaven when we realize who's not there.
Right.
And that's a sad thought.
Yeah.
Thank God he wipes away every tear from our eyes.
Yeah.
But I believe that that's a part of the sadness of heaven that we will experience, that God experiences.
Right.
Right. God is perfect, and there's a perfect sadness for the loss of people who rejected Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyone that we can bring into the kingdom is a precious stone.
Amen.
Right?
Wow, yeah.
And they're being built into that spiritual house. We're going to house the presence of God. We are the new Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Coming down out of heaven onto the new earth.
Which is what, like, and again, just going back to, and I know I'm speaking from perspective of conversations I've had, and even as the Holy Spirit is speaking to me under this series and the teaching, is, okay, what's my takeaway? What am I, because I'm not going to sit, I'm not in fear of my salvation, right?
That's,
and you made that clear each week. But the caution, I think you said it earlier in this conversation, I love it because it's like the caution of these losses and then the victories in that.
Yeah.
The caution of, in other words, I'm not going to turn you off, Pastor Dan, because, I'm saved. Why are we talking about judgment? I know a lot of churches, a lot of, you know, like, well, why I'm saved, right?
Yeah, there
but
is
the,
no judgment.
The caution in, and I love it like this, like, if you ever think it couldn't be you,
sure.
I feel like I think of the parable of the guy at the wall praying and say, I just thank God I'm not that guy.
Oof.
Right?
Man, yeah.
It can. I'm in church 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, it's his first time in a month, and he smells like alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here all the time, and I know the words to the song, and I sing. It couldn't be me. And that posture of like, and I like when you say that, like it absolutely could be you, right?
Yeah.
And I was just having this conversation. We're a mistake away from starting, you know, potentially going in a whirlwind, finding ourselves super broken, right? And so I have to be cautionary of my actions, right? Because while, again, I don't lose my salvation, I could find myself in a series of mistakes that puts me in a place where now I'm at risk of walking away and blaming everyone around me.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom there, but that's how I posture myself in this series and learning about what we're talking about here in my judgments, because God's judgment is final.
It is.
Because God's judgment is impartial. It doesn't just get to go, I was raised in church, I'm on staff at a church, or all these different things that we would kind of position ourselves as to be self-righteous even.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the other side of these things. And I realize that because that's how I, like you said, the perspective I hear is sometimes the vacuum that I can be in as the longer I'm on staff at a church, the more I realize like, I have to really talk to non-church people to help my perspective. Otherwise, I'm just like, what do you mean you don't go to church all the time? What do you mean that you don't understand this, right? But because there are people on Main Street, so to speak, having some of these struggles and realizing like, oh, man, that's why this is really important that we cover these topics.
Absolutely. And you're foreshadowing the next series that we're going to go into on attitudes and actions, where it talks to the religious.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out about, you know, really the distinction that's made because people – in that religious mindset, depart themselves from any sort of, responsibility in some of these areas. And that's where the Apostle Paul said to test yourself, you know, to check yourself out, make sure that you're in the faith, watch lest you fall.
Right.
You know, there are sufficient warnings in the Bible that we all need to understand, like, hey, the emphasis of our life is not fear of judgment, fear of failure or loss. The emphasis of our life is obviously faith, but we still need to heed the warnings, and we still need to watch and be careful. Yeah. It's like any journey, right? Jesus said the way to life is narrow, and there are few who find it, right? And difficult to travel. It's a small, thin road, you know? And I've done hiking up in the mountains. You've done hiking. And you know, when you go on those ridges, man, sometimes there's 100-foot hundred-foot drops on both sides, and you have to stay in this little 2-3 foot path. And you have to watch your footing. Now, the emphasis of it is the journey, right? The destination, where we're going and traveling and moving forward. But in the journey, you're making sure you don't go to the right or the left, because that's perilous. And that would cause you harm. And it's the same thing with our journey with God, that as a Christian, given our heart and life to Jesus, he brings us this wide open space, but then he calls us up. And that path is narrow. And there are few who find it. The Bible says we have to watch for the path and stay on the path and be careful of those pitfalls and those things that, that we encounter along the way. And I believe that's where sin and temptation and those things that we encounter through life are those pitfalls. Those are those things that God tells us to watch out for. And that there will, not just in eternity, like you mentioned, there's losses now. I mean, how much time do we waste? How much sorrow do we encounter? How much guilt and pain and all that kind of stuff are we going through simply because we're not watching? We're not staying in those areas and keeping ourselves.
Well, Pastor, you know, we finished out this series. You mentioned, you kind of hinted at the next series. How do you feel? And I don't know if I've ever asked, how do you feel about this series? Do you feel in terms of how it's how you were able to deliver it? Obviously, you have you're taking a big concept, delivering to people. Maybe some feedback that you got from people.
Oh, I've had some great feedback. You know, people have shared with me that they've really learned some things and been able to, you know, appropriately put themselves in a position of, number one, their judgment lining up with God's judgment. I had people tell me that they were freed in some areas. You know, when it comes to judgments, not only conviction, you know, it's because some people were judging, you know,
it was like, that was great.
I'm being judgmental, you know, part number one, a lot of people, I'm being judgmental. I need to stop. Right.
Well, you said Tupac and you lost half of us. We're wait,
what? Whoa. Only God can judge me. But yeah, no, that part one, a lot of people it was I'm improperly judging. But some did come back and say, hey, you know, the fact that you said that we can judge according to truth as God's spiritual people and judge according to God's word, that freed me, because people have told me, you can't judge. And I'm like, but it's wrong. You know, like, what do I do with that? And the neat thing is that people understood the difference. And for a pastor, when someone gets it, that's like our joy.
For sure.
You know what I mean? It's like, there's nothing better than that when someone gets it. And so, but as well, I believe with the eternal perspective, a lot of people really got some clarity, you know, where there might have been some, well, wait, what are we talking about?
No, it's good.
And even the fear, you know, because judgment can be a fearful thing. And especially, like I said, we need to heed the warnings. We need to watch. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Our God is a consuming fire. We understand those statements, and we take them with the severity that they come with through the word. But knowing the terror of the Lord, we compel men. And that's where I think a renewed passion probably got put into people. And so I feel great about the series. If I didn't feel like we wrapped it up, I'd be doing another part. But I feel like it's complete. It's whole. And it was a good understanding. And now we can move forward in Romans. And if you notice, these three series that we're in the midst of, these three-parters, I don't know, we may go longer in Attitudes and Actions, or we may go shorter, I'm not sure. I haven't laid that out yet in my studies. I'll probably do that today, tomorrow. but yeah, I mean, as we go through that, we'll see how far that goes. But these three series together compile this whole understanding of the wrath of God being revealed against all ungodliness. But moralists don't think that you're exempt just because you're a good person. And hey, religious, come on. You know, like, I think there's just some really neat tie-ins between these three that we're really going to get that full understanding, so that when we hit chapter three and the real significance of Jesus being our mercy seat, our propitiation, those are big theological words. But when we hit that, we're really going to realize the significance of it. You know, and the Apostle Paul was brilliant, obviously being led by the Holy Spirit. To lay this understanding out in a way that it takes us to that, you know, that amazing crescendo of, to reach the climax of what we're talking about, Jesus, right? And then we hit faith in Romans 4, and I mean, just
Well, it's been very good, Pastor. And we saw even this past weekend the fruit in terms of the response from our believers, from people who are just leaning in, getting plugged in.
Yeah.
But also from those who are hearing about this judgment, who are hearing about a life of sin and what lies ahead for them, and a response in salvation, people yeah. coming to the altar. It was a beautiful weekend. I want to encourage everybody again, listening, watching. If you're listening to this, but maybe you didn't catch up on the series, make sure you're listening to part 1, 2, and 3, right from the Rock Church podcast. And man, it will be a blessing to you. And then share with somebody. I know you'll yeah. be blessed.
And a great takeaway too is, as we've been talking, bring someone to church.
Yes.
You know, we compel men because yep. we know about the eternal judgment. And right. it's final. We yeah. don't want people to go to hell. I don't want to be thinking about someone that I loved
yeah.
when I see that pillar of smoke,
yep.
you know, and have those tears.
Right.
I want to see that precious stone being built into that spiritual house. And because we love people,
yeah.
because God loves people, yeah. right? And even the unlovable, even the people that we don't like, we can still love them and compel yeah. them and give them Jesus. And who knows, you know, they may get saved and become a best friend because
yeah.
God makes them new.
Well, and I think about how we've always taught in terms of attributed to your account.
Yeah.
Remember we've had that teaching
uh-huh.
and you know, we were just talking about how people are these precious stones.
Yes.
You know, your invitation, your support of them getting into the house of God, your invitation and them putting their faith in Jesus could be precious stones in your crown. And yeah. it's not just the pastor, the preacher, whoever it's leads everyone. Them in the sinner's prayer, so to speak. It's everyone that took part
yeah.
in seeing someone walk into salvation. Which
one
is really
plants,
cool.
another waters,
Amen.
But God gave the increase.
Yeah.
And the sower and the reaper will rejoice together, the Bible mm-hmm. says. So that's amazing.
Well, it's been great, Pastor Dan. Thank you for your time. Thank you all for listening all the way through. Again, subscribe, like, share. Man, we love you guys and talk to you guys soon.